I'm an INFP. Veronica is an ENFP. Not just a random string of letters. Those are our personality types, according to the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Assessment.
A lot of organizations use that and other personality assessments to help employees understand themselves and one another. And as the idea goes, this helps people communicate and work better together.
Our next guest, though, isn't so sure about the effectiveness of the test. Joseph Stromberg joins us now. He's a science writer for Vox.com, where he wrote the piece, Why the Myers-Briggs Test is Totally Meaningless. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, first, for people who haven't encountered this, so what is this Myers-Briggs type indicator?
The Myers-Briggs test is probably the most widely used personality test right now. And essentially, you take a series of questions. You answer a series of questions. Right now, it's 93 questions. Most of them give you one of two different possible answers. So it'll say, do you get energy from interacting with people or do you get energy from staying at home? You answer your 93 questions and it groups you into one of 16 different personality types.
And tell us, can you give us an example of some of the questions? Because one of the critiques that you have is that the test is binary. It's black and white. You fall in one slot or the other. So can you give us an example of a question you may find on the test?
A possible question will say, you find it easy to introduce yourself to other people. That's, a question on an example test I'm actually looking at right now. and you say, I agree or I disagree. You're not really able to add any nuance to your answer. You can't say, well, it's easy to introduce yourself to people in professional settings, but not more social ones. Or sometimes I find it easy to introduce myself to people, but other times I'm a little more shy. You kind of just have to pick one or the other answer.
Right. A lot of times you might feel like you could go either way on some of those. Now, part of the reason we're talking about this particular test, and you wrote about it, is it's pretty widely used. How widespread is this?
The average estimate is about 2 million people take it annually. Mostly that's within corporate HR departments, sometimes colleges and schools. A number of government agencies actually use it. And generally this is used basically to sort people into different personality types. So an HR department can help guide you as to what types of fields you might be most successful in, what types of work you'll enjoy the most, things like that.
Now, one of the reasons that this test is so widespread is it sounds very official. It goes back a long ways, the Myers-Briggs type indicator. But as it turns out, it sounds like the people who made this test up, who developed it, didn't have a lot of background and the underpinnings, in fact, going back to Carl Jung, are a little bit, these days wouldn't be considered very credible. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the test?
Yeah. I guess you could say this test was state of the art in 1921. as you mentioned, Carl Jung, his theories were pretty important for it. Essentially, he wrote a book called Psychological Types, and he was in many ways the father of analytical psychology. And he came up with all kinds of important theories that were really influential in the field, and one of them was this theory of types. So he thought humans could fall neatly into several different types, people who perceive the world first versus people who judge it first, people who prefer to sense it more logically versus people who intuit it on a more emotional level, basically making clean splits like that. And so that work was later picked up by a pair of Americans, Catherine Briggs and her daughter, Isabel Briggs-Myers, which is why the test is the Myers-Briggs, and they translated that into an actual personality instrument. But the important thing was that even at the time, Jung said that these rules were just rough approximations and that most people were exceptions to them, and there was no way to actually cleanly split people into one or the other. But nevertheless, Myers and Briggs decided to take his types and turn them into an actual test instrument.
And now we take these tests at workplaces, in the military, you write, and somebody's supposed to be able to do something with them. You mentioned HR departments can help, in theory, help develop employees, things like that. You looked at some of the research out there, though. Is there research to back up the promises of this test?
There's actually not. The funny thing is, people in this field in psychology, they do have some systems they developed in more recent years that they believe more accurately depict the different types of people there are out there. But there aren't working psychologists right now who use the Myers-Briggs to do that. the research that has been done shows that it's not a very accurate predictor of people's success in various fields or in people's, you know, it's, in some cases people claim that it can be used to predict, you know, what type of person you should marry, what type of people you should be friends with, things like that. And all the data says that it doesn't predict these things at rates any higher than chance.
Is it good if you just want to learn something about yourself? You want to put a figure on what your personality is like, get a picture of it that's clear, if you just want to use it for that kind of thing instead of any sort of tangible career-based information, for instance?
I think to some extent the comparison that I made that I think really hit a nerve with people is that it's kind of like a BuzzFeed quiz. It's fun to take.
Which Star Trek character are you most like or something
exactly,
like that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And they're fun, and there's no harm in them, per se. Where the Myers-Briggs gets problematic is the fact that you have companies and government agencies paying lots of money, in some cases, to have people administrate this test. Essentially, it's overall the company that administers it, which is called CPP, makes an estimated $20 million every year, and the Myers-Briggs is its flagship product. And so, among other things, when someone wants to take the test, they charge between $15 and $40 to take it. They charge each person who wants to become a test administrator about $1,700 to take a four-day class to become a certified administrator. And so, to my way of thinking, there's nothing wrong with these tests if they're just a fun way to learn about yourself, but the fact that they're part of the infrastructure of so many corporations and government agencies when there's actually no scientific backing behind them is actually a problem.
And Joseph, we've got a little bit of time here, but one of the critiques you have of this is that it's all positive. Mm. It sounds as though there's nothing you can say that will displease the Myers-Briggs test, that you'll come up looking kind of rosy any way you slice it.
You're never just a jerk.
that's exactly right. And I mean, this is actually a trick used by palm readers and fortune tellers. If you vaguely say a lot of positive things about people, they'll generally have a nice experience when you read their palm or when they take your test. And that's one of the secrets to its success. And so, you know, each of the different personality types, if you go read a profile, what is an ENTJ? What is an ISFP? All the things it says about these personality types are these glowing, beautiful things. You know, you're a caretaker or you're an idealist. You're a leader. You never see that, oh, you're a jerk or you're selfish. And so that's definitely one of the reasons the Myers-Briggs has been so successful. But it's also a reason why it's not as accurate in depicting the actual personality types we see in people.
We're talking about personality testing right now, especially about the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, with science reporter Joseph Stromberg. He says a test is totally meaningless.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you taken this test or used it in your business or other organization? Did it give you insight into yourself and your peers, or did you see it as a waste of time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation with science writer Joseph Stromberg from Vox.com. We're talking about personality testing, in particular the Myers-Briggs test, and where it might fall short.
In a recent piece, our guest says this particular personality test is widely used but doesn't live up to its promises. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Have you taken or even maybe administered this test? How do you see it as being useful, or do you think it's a waste of time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got Jenny on the line in Evansville. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I appreciate the topic. I took this test personally quite a while ago, and I took it from the book myself, so the elaborated version, because I think there are different versions of the test where there are more questions and then there's an abbreviated version. And I just wanted to say that I found it extremely useful, and I definitely would not call it meaningless or liken it to BuzzFeed or anything like that. However, I do appreciate, you know, what your guest is saying about the way that the test is used, and in terms of using it as a predictor or that sort of thing. But, you know, when I took it, I remember it saying, okay, my result was INFJ, and every INFJ person is not just the same, and that every letter, there's a continuum. You could be a strong I. You could fall anywhere on the continuum. So I didn't find it as black and white as your guest is stating. I also remember that a number of different questions in the questionnaire were kind of getting at the same thing. Mm-hmm. So even though the answers were black and white, you know, you had to pick A, B, C, D, they were repositioning.
Oops, starting to break up there. Starting to break up there, Jenny, but thanks for the call. I think we see where you were going. So not quite so black and white, she says, Joseph. And she agrees, maybe not a great predictor for the workplace, but a great starting point for some personal insight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I said before, if someone wants to take this on their own, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. I just don't see it as a useful tool that, you know, companies should be spending money on and that someone, you know, who wants to work for an organization should be subjected to, given the lack of research behind it. And as I said when I first got on, there are other personality indicators out there that have been developed much more recently based on actual data collected on real people. And those sorts of things have proven to be more accurate in terms of describing how different people differ from each other. One thing that I didn't mention earlier is that, you know, there are some traits among humans that have what's called a bimodal distribution, where you have some people at one end and some people at the other, and you have many more traits where everyone is more in the middle, like a bell curve. And the traits measured by the Myers-Briggs, which are, you know, as I said earlier, the introverted versus extroverted, or the judging versus perceiving, those sorts of things people have found tend to be more like a bell curve rather than two split groups who differ strongly from each other. So if you do want to take a personality type test, there are better ones out there. That said, if the Myers-Briggs is what floats your boat, that's fine too.
Well, just real quickly, what do you think is better than Myers-Briggs?
The one system that comes up most often is called the five-factor tool. So it measures people among what are called five big personality traits. Their openness, conscientiousness, agreeableness, neuroticism, and extroversion. And these are things that, again, psychologists have recently found to sort people more accurately in terms of being able to split people up into two different groups. And importantly, they're things that don't change as much over time. So as I was talking about the questions in the Myers-Briggs, how a lot of them you might answer one way some of the time and another way another part of the time, these other five traits in general seem to be a little more consistent. Now, that said, there's a lot of disagreement within psychology about the usefulness of personality types as a concept at all. And there are a lot of psychologists who think that it's more accurate to talk about personality states rather than personality types because people vary so much over time based on their circumstances.
I want to go back to the phones now. We're going to take a call from Andrea in Madison. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I understand the Myers-Briggs is actually a developmental test where if you take it young, you may have a preference like left-right-handedness, but then over the course of time and maturity, other facets that are exist in all of us will begin to emerge and allow you a more multifaceted approach to things. And what I'd like you to speak to is the fact that I have found it inordinately useful on several occasions to facilitate communication, whether it's in a work group or relationships, where you've got different types of people having real difficulties understanding or communicating with one another. Can you address that?
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrea. And Andrea's saying it's a developmental tool that changes over time, and it can be a communication tool. What about that?
Well, I think she's right in saying that people's types do change over time. One of the biggest criticisms of the test is that when someone takes it and then takes it a second time, on average, 50% of the time, they'll end up with a different personality type. And so to me, I don't see that as a benefit of the test, but kind of a problem, given that it claims to be a personality test that isolates people's personality types. To me, I see a test that people change in their assessment over time, not going to, you know, she's saying it's helpful in terms of communicating with different people. And again, I'm not going to dispute that in individual circumstances, people can get something out of it. I'm not saying we should outlaw this test or anything like that. I'm just mainly pointing out that there are much more, you know, scientifically accurate personality tests out there now that have been developed over the past few decades. And the Myers-Briggs compared to those is pretty outdated.
Andrea, thanks for the call. We'll go to Brian in Madison now. Brian, hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to let them know that I'm a clinical psychology student at the University of Indianapolis. And I just finished taking coursework in personality testing. And I have to agree with them that the Myers-Briggs doesn't, you know, tell you a whole lot, and it is subject to change with retesting. But my question was, is where do you stand on more scientifically backed personality tests, such as the MMPI-2 or the NEO-PIR being used for screening for in the infrastructure of business or something like that? I personally disagree with it, but the MMPI-2 being developed in the University of Minnesota has been a very widely and respected personality test that is used not only for clinical inference, but for screening of potential employees. And I was just wondering what your opinion was on that.
Thanks for calling in. That's actually a question in general about different types of personality tests that I've been asked a lot since writing this piece about the Myers-Briggs. And to be honest, I don't have as strong an opinion on those as I do about the Myers-Briggs. It seems that there's a lively debate going on within psychology about the usefulness of those types of tests. And I've spoken to psychologists who fall on both sides of that debate. And so, you know, that's a tough question, and that's being sorted out right now within the literature. It's much easier for me to look and say that Myers-Briggs is useless because of how definitively the data comes out down against it. In terms of the other more recent tests, it's a much more nuanced picture, and I think we're still trying to figure that out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Brian. And, you know, you talked about how you thought Myers-Briggs was state-of-the-art in 1921. Why has it persisted all these years, and why does it still have cultural cachet?
That's an interesting question. One of the psychologists I talked to said that it's pretty unsuccessful as a personality test, but it's an extremely successful advertisement for itself. And so one of the reasons is, as we talked about, it gives everyone fairly positive results. It gives neat, easy-to-remember names and four-letter codes for each of the 16 personalities. It's kind of a well-packaged product that can be sold successfully. And one of the reasons that it's been sold successfully also is that there's one particular corporation behind it that bought the rights to it in the 1970s, this company called CPP, and they've marketed it very well. They have a whole infrastructure in place that people can become licensed to give the test. It's been part of various HR departments' traditions to give the same test every year for decades. And it's kind of a case where you have the scientific body of people working on human personality going in one direction, but then the public being sold a product that's in a very different direction.
Joseph, before we let you go, do you know your type?
I actually don't. I've been asked this a lot since writing about the test as well. And I've gotten different results different times I've taken it. So I'm, you know, not really confident that I have one particular type on this test.
All right, Joseph, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
That was Joseph Stromberg, science writer with Vox.com.
Yeah, I took the test not all that long ago and found out the only strong result was I was an introvert.
Right, which explains why you're in radio.
Well, no, I didn't need the test to figure that out. Yeah, you know, but that's the thing, too. You're supposed to be able to overcome your own introversion or whatever it is and make your way in the world. Anyway, yeah. Introvert, you heard it here first.
And I'm very mildly an extrovert. See, it is fun to talk about. You have to give it that.
That's true. Well, coming up in Wisconsin Life, we're going to have a fun conversation. We ask what you would miss about Wisconsin if you had to leave the state. Call in now with your answers at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.